got grace.
I got grace.
Lord, you reign
above every name.
Oh, my God, grace.
I got grace.
I've got grace.
I got grace.
Lord, you reign.
You reign.
In the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we stopped in the fourth verse last Wednesday. And the last words, or the last phrase of the fourth verse is the word, but rather giving of thanks. Instead of filthiness, instead of foolish talking, instead of jesting, which the word of God says isn't convenient, we need to be a people that are thankful. And no matter what your situation is, that you be thankful. It says in the third verse, it says we need to deal, or like Paul will say in another passage, flee fornication and all uncleanness, every form of uncleanness. It says get away from that. That are impure actions, moral actions, everything that has to do with what will not glorify God. If it's unclean, it says, get away from that. It says, get away from covetousness. It says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Becometh saints. These are not becoming of saints. Now, having gone through verse 3 and verse 4, it is remarkable that when we come to verse 5, the same things are stated again. This is a verily, 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 verily. You know, he's basically saying to us, you know what I told you in verse 3 and verse 4? Let me state it again so you don't miss it. He says, for this you know, that whoremongers or fornicators, nor unclean. Now, when it talks about uncleanness here, it's talking about people that are involved in things that do not glorify God. So uncleanness here is filth, whether it's filth in your physically, in your house, or spiritually in your mind. Uncleanness is a very broad statement. Having talked about fornication and whoremongering, uncleanness goes a little bit deeper than that. It's addressing every form of immorality. And included in this unclean person is the act or the demonic activities, where a demonic spirit is possessing a life because that life has been opened up to it. So the Bible says, it says when a demon is cast out, it says when it comes back and sees nobody in charge of that house and it is clean, it goes and gets several more wicked spirits, because demonic spirits are unclean spirits. Demonic spirits are unclean spirits. And it's basically saying to us here, and you can see it, when you see somebody that's demonized, generally, most of the time, there is something unclean about them. And when a demonic spirit is cast out, a great deal of times, it comes out with a horrible smell, because it's an unclean spirit. He says, whoremongers, that's fornicators, people that give themselves, or you might say, whether it be male or female, a harlot, that's a whoremonger, or in street language, a slut. He says those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a free person sexually, he says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're seeking love from the wrong place. See? He says, nor covetous man. A covetous man, just their eyes are lusting for stuff. They want this, they want that, they want this. They're never satisfied with anything they've got. He says, a covetous man who is an idolater. That covetousness, he says, yeah, is an act of idolatry. Because you're feeling or trying to get satisfaction from something that is not God. And your love is for stuff rather than for God. And so Matthew 6 says, he says, you cannot serve God and serve mammon. A covetous person is a mammon worshiper. It's a worshiper of stuff. They just want to get. They are not about giving to be a blessing to anybody. They just want to grab. They're like squirrels that are always collecting stuff and hiding stuff. And then they don't know where they hid it. A covetous person is just wanting to grab. What can I get? Because he identifies himself by his stuff, how much he's acquired. That's where he gets his sense of identity from. I was listening to, my television was on BBC News earlier today, and there's this athlete, there's one of the best in the world in her sport, and she dropped out. And they were interviewing her. And she said, I have the money, I have all of this, I have this, I have that, I have this. But I'm not happy. I want to be happy. And she doesn't know why she's not happy. Well, because you've got a different God, the God of success, and you finally get there, and that does not satisfy. He says, a covetous person who is an idolater they don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. If you are just about sex, you're just about pornography and bestiality, and that all falls under the unclean. You're all about what you can get, because that's how you're going to identify yourself as great. I have this car. I have a 20,000 square foot house, here, and I have a 10,000 one over there. And I have a beach house over here, and I have a cabin over in that province, and I have a jet plane, and that's what makes you important. He says, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Not that those things are bad, but because you are identifying yourself with those things, and that's what makes you feel important. Well, you've gotten your reward already, so there's no inheritance for you. The rich guy who died and showed up in hell and was asking for Lazarus to dip his hand into some water and bring it to him. Abraham says, you know, in the world you got your reward already. That's what your identity was about. You got it. And so many times, what the enemy wants you to do is to find your identity in your looks, in your job, in your business, in your friends, in your the amount of likes that you have on Facebook. That's your whole life. You see, that's interesting that I went there right here. Facebook didn't change their name, but they changed their name. Zuckerberg changed it to Meta, right? That's about 2 weeks ago. What does Meta mean? Meta means dead. So he, in the Hebrew, Meta means dead. So do you think he's not aware when he changes the name of his platform or whatever to death, dead universe? Because you see, so many people live their lives based on the likes. Who likes me? And if that's where you're getting your stuff from, you got your deal. And God is saying, pursuing things with covetousness, pursuing idolatry, allowing uncleanness to come into your life, being a whoremonger means that you are not going to inherit anything. You have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. And verse 6 goes on and says, let no man deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you about this. Don't let anybody deceive you with vain words and say, that doesn't matter. That's nothing. That's what does God have to do with that? You know, this, you know, just fool around, you know. It says, don't let anybody deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, because of fornication, pornography, because it's all in the same place. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. The wrath of God, because of these things. Why does the wrath of God come upon them? The wrath of God comes upon them because they have embraced those things. And those things that they've embraced are directly connected to the activity and influence of the devil, the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2, but specifically verse 2. It says in Ephesians 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's the way the people of this world walk. They walk with just pursuing sexuality. They walk with uncleanness. They walk with covetousness, which is idolatry. They walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Now, if they are children of disobedience, then they are children of the devil. Because you're either children of light or children of darkness. And God called us out of darkness. God called you and I to come out of darkness, and he called the light out of darkness because he saw and put his light inside of us. And so when we go back into darkness, we become disobedient. And that's disobedience because the devil is wooing you onto the dark side. What is he wooing you to get? Power, control. So in the pursuit for power, the pursuit for control, the pursuit for knowledge, not necessarily good knowledge, but knowledge so that you can supersede somebody else. You become ignorant, a child of disobedience. This is extremely important for us to recognize, because the children of disobedience go against the directives of God. And the Bible says the sin of disobedience is as the spirit of what? Witchcraft. Yeah? Okay. So, witchcraft is the spirit that the enemy uses to influence control in the natural world from a spiritual perspective. It is the spirit that runs through most occultic groups. Freemasonry, that's all about witchcraft. And that spirit of witchcraft is the spirit that leads people into the worship of Satan. And the reality, are you ready for this? The reality is this. I remember I did a series of messages. It wasn't a series of messages many years ago. The gold or God standard. Some of you still might still remember that message. That's a message that the Lord used me to get Paul Martin. I keep on forgetting his name. Getting him off of the seat of government. It was from that particular message. I remember telling my spiritual father about what I talked about, because I talked about Freemasonry, and he said, "You did what?" I wasn't scared until he said, "You did what?" Because my spiritual father, he's a bold, he is, and he said, "You did what?" Man, you went right to the top, because that's the system that runs our world. You didn't know it. Our entertainment, our political systems are run by Freemasons. And it's all connected to the worship of Satan, the god of this world. So God says to us, there is a prince of the power of the air. That prince of the power of the air works through media. Works through the entertainment systems of this world to influence how people think. Social media is part of the system. That's why believers need to be very careful how they use social media. You have to be very careful. You are in the world, but not of this world. So if you're going to be using social media, better be using social media to win souls. Social media is not for you to go show your nice looks, your pictures. No, the purpose for you as a believer is to use social media to grab people from darkness and force them into the light. Because already, like we said just a moment ago, the people that know how your life is being influenced by the prince of the power of the air have already told you, one, Meta, TikTok, 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 time is going. Started with things like MySpace. That's gone out the window. You know, somebody talked about MySpace. That's the enemy invading your space. WWW, World Wide Web, catching you in the web. The prince of the power of the air that works now in the children of disobedience to snare people. God says, you don't break free from that. Don't get snared. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come at the wrath of God. On the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be a partaker with them. Don't drink from their cyanide infested goblet. You'll die. For ye were sometimes darkness. You were at some point in your life, ye were darkness. He didn't say you were sometimes in darkness. He says you were darkness. In other words, you were children of the devil. But you're out of that. Stay out. But now are ye light. Not you are like a light. You are light in the Lord. You are light. Therefore walk as children of light. James says to us, he says, every good, every perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights. The Father of lights is God. So, if the Father of lights is God, and like gives birth to like, then the God who birthed you as God. Hear that? And as God, you face the God of this world, and you subdue the God of this world. Hallelujah. You are God's good gift and perfect gift, and you came from above. And John 3 says, that which is from above is above all. God gave birth to us and raised us up by his Spirit so that we are now seated in heavenly places, far above principalities, far above powers, far above the rulers of the darkness of this world. You're far above them. But the remarkable thing about it is that the devil is such a show-off. I had a very interesting experience maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'd walked into some incredible, huge castle with a group of people, and when I walked in there, I sensed we walked into the enemy's camp. It was shut, and the enemy started doing his crazy stuff, And all I was saying is the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And I'm like this light. And then I said to the Lord, I said, man, what is going on here? All this big stuff happening. I'm just this little light over here. What was going on? What chance do I have to fight against all this stuff? And the Lord says, this little light that you are is bigger than all of this. The devil is such a show off. And I got calm. And I stopped, you know, the blood of Jesus. And I just stood and I said, by the authority vested in me in God, Satan, shut up. You and your courts, shut up. Change. You and I may think of ourselves as some little inconsequential whatever. But light shines and the darkness comprehends it not. The depth of the enemy is in the realm of darkness. That's where he operates. The thief operates in darkness. But God calls us to a place where he says, we came down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, there's no wishy-washiness about him, neither shadow of turning. And then it says in verse 18, it says, of his own will, the will of God, he begat us with the word of truth. That's how we got born again, with the word of truth. There are so many people that are in church today that are not born again. You know why? They did not hear the truth of God's word. They heard some fairy tale story, some funny story that somebody told them, but they did not hear the word of God, the word of truth, where they recognized that they were sinners and that Christ Jesus died for them so that they can receive the salvation of God and because of that, be saved. That they're saved not by their works, but by the grace of God. And that the grace of God now works in them and through them to live godly lives. They don't know that. So they're trying to do whatever it is to get saved. Or they're trying to do nothing that pleases God and thinking that grace by itself saves them. No, both of them go together. Faith and works go together. He says, we were begotten by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruit is Jesus himself, who's the first fruit. And now we are a kind of that first fruit. We're kind of people that have been raised from the dead and are alive in God, more than conquerors. For whatsoever have been born of God overcometh the world. John chapter 5, 1 John 5 says, whatever has been born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. And then it goes on and says, he says to us, let me go through that again. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Were they born again? By the word of truth. And the word of truth then makes you an overcomer. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Or overcometh the world, our faith. That faith which comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. And then verse 5 says, who is he? Who is the person that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The great challenge that will face our world in the days coming is this particular issue, is Jesus the Son of God? Have you noticed during the last decade, every time we're coming towards Christmas, there are always documentaries and whatever else trying to, cast a doubt on who Jesus is. Nobody goes after Muhammad. Nobody goes against Buddha. Nobody goes against Confucius or anybody else. Why? Because the real threat is Jesus. That's it. And the devil wants to discredit Jesus. That's why he is going to present an anti-Christ. An anti doesn't necessarily mean an opposite of, but one that comes alongside and compares himself with. And you've heard me teach about this before, about what the Lord spoke to me about many years ago, that the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of humanism and science. And maybe you've been hearing it, all the talk about science. We believe in science. We believe in science. We believe in science. We believe in and humanism, globalism, all of that. It's all about attacking the person of Jesus. And you and I need to know who Jesus is. Know him. And know that he is the truth. And know this about him, that it seemed like he was defeated when they killed him. But he said, nobody takes my life. I have to lay my life down. Know this, that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you also believe that he was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And that no matter what you go through in your life, you are not killable and you are not dying. You're going to live forever. Praise the Lord. And that knowing is what is going to keep you steadfast, because there is eternal life. With all the nonsense going on in our world, there is going to be a day when time will be no more. There will be no tick-tock, tick-tock. It stops. Metaverse wants to bring you into a different universe. I don't know if you've seen the commercial on Meta. These people are in this gallery and they're looking at this picture and these cartoonic pictures of a lion or no, a tiger and some other crazy bullock or whatever. All of a sudden they get animated and they're looking at this animation. And all of a sudden, something changes with them, and they are pulled into that world. Into a world of darkness. Into a world that is not real. Do you think these guys are doing this stuff just because they don't know what they're doing? They know absolutely what they're doing. Because they are all from the same school. He says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be a partaker with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. Ephesians 5:8. Ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light. Not sometimes light. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh, But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. In all goodness and all righteousness and in all truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it lists the other things that emanate from love, like gentleness, like patience, all of the other eight that we call the nine fruit of the Spirit. They are all in goodness. What is that? Goodness is you and I taking a stance. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do a good thing. When you are a practitioner of goodness, you're not seeking how you're going to hurt somebody, how you're going to hurt somebody, how you're going to abuse them, how you're going to disenfranchise them, how you're going to stop them from fulfilling their destiny. You are not a problem maker or troublemaker. You're a solution seeker. So if you have an issue with a brother, you sit down and you talk with them. Find out, why is this happening? This is what I'm thinking about. You don't surprise them. You say, well, I've had it. I've had it with this person. I've had it with this church. I've had it with this pastor. I've had it with this business. I've had it with this whatever. And you just drop things. Because you've had it. Did you ever sit down and speak candidly with the other person? Because that's where goodness is. That's where righteousness, having a right standing. If I have an issue with somebody, I'll sit down and talk with them. This is how I'm feeling about this. This is how I'm feeling about that. I know love doesn't think evil. So therefore, I do believe there is a misunderstanding here, and I want to clear it up so that our relationship is better and more whole and clear, that we are reading from the same page and doing the right thing together. That means that when somebody is talking with me and I'm coming from that platform of I am loved, I don't think evil about them because they said something. I embrace whatever it is they're saying and saying, this person wants my good. Let me listen carefully. If they are not right, I will speak to them clearly and say, I heard what you said, but because of this, I think you're reading it from the wrong perspective. The other day I was thinking about something, and I saw myself here in church, and it was like I was trying to minister a word, and I had a box, a big box, and one side of the box was green and the other side of the box was red, and the top part was hidden from view. Every other visible part was hidden from view, and I'm standing there, and on one side, and this other person standing over on the other side, and I said, "What is the color of this box?" The person on this side said, "Red." And I said, "It's green." "What do you mean it's red? It's green." I said, "No, it's not green, it's red." Because that's what they were saying. I said, "Okay, let's change sides." When I went there, the box was green. And when I got here, it was red. It was just about perspective. See? And sometimes what somebody else sees is different from what you see because of where you're standing. And the thing is, to walk in their moccasins, and then you find out exactly where they're coming from. And that's where all righteousness, all goodness, and truth is. That's where the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, abides. Never jump to conclusions on things without fairly addressing it. The reality of life is this. We need to understand that there is a spirit that wants to influence our thought life. And this is what I've learned in life. That when the enemy wants to create a problem in a group, he always begins to generate people taking sides. He starts seeding sides. And so when you want to deal with the issue, you start thinking, but this person said this, and this person said that, and this person said this, and this person said that, and this person said that. And now you've got your group that are saying one thing and your group that are saying the other thing, because the enemy is busy, the prince of the power of the air is busy feeding into the system. And that's where we become discerning and wise and say, this is not about that person, what that person said, what that person said, what this person said, what that person said, what that person said. This is about me and this person that are talking right here. Forget about what everybody else said. I want to hear what you have to say. And when you talk, you start exposing the enemy. And people draw closer together and accomplish greater things together because they are not under the spirit of the enemy. Amen? So it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Don't like that? This is how you get to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And what does Romans 12 say? How we prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That is mercies that we need to extend to each other. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or the least you can do. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. I'm giving myself as a sacrifice. That means I'm giving myself, this is costing me something. And then it says, and be not what? Conformed. Don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be ye transformed. Metamorpho. Be transformed. An incremental change. But let's think about it. When we talk about transformation, the one thing that you and I will think about right away when we talk about metamorpho or transformation is the egg that became a larva. The egg was just in one spot and didn't do nothing until it hatched and became a larva, a caterpillar that has all these legs and whatever else. And then that caterpillar goes through one stage, which is a very vulnerable stage, and then becomes a pupa. And the pupa stage, it's again stagnant. It doesn't look like anything's happening. But while it is in that pupa stage, in that cocoon, something is happening inside. There's a change taking place inside. And at the fullness of time, it breaks out of that pupa. And what do we see? We see a butterfly. That is metamorpho. Transformation. God bringing you from a crawling stage to a stage where you take flight. And you are not easily targetable. Try to shoot a butterfly. It's dancing all over the place. You can't tell. It's unpredictable. And God's saying to us, he says, he wants to bring you and I to that place where we are not easily predictable. Praise God. Be transformed by the renewing. So there's a renewal that needs to take place. My thinking needs to change. It's constantly changing. How I used to think 20 years ago is not how I'm thinking today. And with every change that's taking place in your life, you begin to see things differently. That is just life in the spirit, being transformed. And when we've been transformed, so that we will then be able to prove. You're going to prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Proving it. Hallelujah. That word, to prove, is an interesting word. It's a word that basically means that we test the virility of that which we believe in. We test to make sure that what we are saying or what we're standing on is solid enough. Today I can walk on this stage confidently because of the materials that we use to put together. Now you can have the same structure and just have some flimsy wood on there, put the carpeting on, and when you step into it, your leg goes right through. You can't jump on it. You have to be very ginger because you don't want to have the wrong kind of breakthrough. Well, this word here is a word that tells us that we need to test what we are going through. And many times, you and I go through different kind of a test. The word is dokimazo. God says, you need to test that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, good, better, best. Now, this is good, but it will not be able to handle the next level. And so God brings you and I to that place where he takes us through dimensions. And with every dimension you come through, every class you come through, there are different kinds of tests. Different kinds of challenges. Whether it be in your relationships, in your school, in your business, in the place of employment, in your family life, every place of your life will go through a test. And you need to, by the power of love, prove that when you're going through that test, that you are going to be okay. That grace is sufficient in your life. Let me wrap up with this today. Proving what is acceptable. Prove that which is acceptable unto the Lord. Prove it. Check it out. Test it. go through the stress situation, you know, in engineering, you talk about stress test. You build a bridge, you got to check out to find out how much can this bridge handle. Sometimes we put to what we have too much. Listen to this, this is important. Whether I like it or not, there's so much that I can handle. Whether you like it or not, there's so much that you can handle. And what love does is that when I'm facing or experiencing more than I can handle in terms of weight, that I raise my hand and say, I think I've come to my limit. I can't do anymore. I can do this, but I cannot do this. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to Sister Nicole, came to me and said, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I have too much on my plate, but I can do this. I said, okay, that's fine. Then just do what you can do. Whatever it is you cannot do, let that alone. She was doing graphics. She says, I can't do that. Guess what? God brought somebody else to take on that particular responsibility. Now, she can say, well, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then says, throw my hands up. I'm not going to do anything. Now, that is not goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's not love. Because now I have to look for somebody to do all this other stuff. No, this is what I can do. Now I can say, but I need you to do this. I need you. Please do it. Have faith. No, the person just told you, I've gone through my tests, stress tests, and this is what I can handle. You say, okay. When you can handle more, when you're strong, then strengthen other people. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And when we do that, we will never be in a situation where the enemy speaks into our hearing and tries to undermine whatever it is that we're doing. I'm going to read verse 11, but that's, I'm stopping here. He said, and have no fellowship, no koinonia, no partnership with the unfruitful works of darkness. They are unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, rebuke them. Satan, I rebuke you. The Lord God Almighty rebukes you. Take your filthy hands off of my situation. You're not going to whisper into my hearing. I refuse to accept any of your lies. I reject it. I denounce it by the authority of the word of God, because what God wants me to do is to do that which is his good, acceptable, and perfect will. And so therefore, you do not have a right. You are not going to intimidate me. You are not going to poison my mind about this or about that and cause me not to walk uprightly before the living God. I reject your lies. You are rebuked of the Lord. I stand in fellowship with God and his people, and I reject every lie that you want to propagate around me. The Lord rebuke you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we'll take it up from verse 11 next time, and as we do so, we will continue to increase in the wisdom and loving kindness of the Most High God. I thank God for every one of you that took time to come, and those of you that have connected online. I see Pastor Choice online, and Pleasance and Sister Carol. Well, bless you all. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Release your seed of faith. Give it an assignment. Give it an assignment. What is it that you are believing God to produce with your giving of faith?